these few weeks we're looking at a few different issues in the Christian life, a few different parts of the Christian life. Last week we learnt about repentance, and this week I've chosen this subject of worry, or anxiety, fear. It's one of the most common human problems in all places, at all times. It's something which every human being has to face. Some challenges will just come to a few, but the challenge of worry, it seems that it comes to everyone. For some people it's a part of their life every day, and for some it becomes even a crippling part of their life. It disables them. But for a Christian, it doesn't need to be a part of our life at all. Jesus and the apostles talk clearly about worry. Now, firstly, I want to begin with verses 24 and 25, where Jesus is showing us why he's teaching about worry. What's his purpose in his teaching? In the Sermon on the Mount, in this part, he's teaching about how to serve wholeheartedly. If you look at the heading above verse 90, it says treasures in heaven. It's about being single-minded. It's about being able to give our all to God, not having part of us serving another master. So verse 24, nobody can serve two masters. If you try it, there'll really be one who's not really the master. If you hate one, you'll love the other, or you can be devoted to one and despise the other. But there can only be one person you take your orders from. A half-hearted Christian is an ineffective Christian. He's trying to have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. He's trying to get the best of this life. He's trying to get the best of the life to come, but it doesn't work. He'll be unhappy. There'll really be one that's got his heart, and the other's making him miserable, even if he doesn't realise the cause. Jesus says you cannot serve both God and mammon and gain. You can't make your goal to have the best in this life and to have the best of God. You have to choose. If you're a Christian, then you've chosen God, so you have to put aside the other God, the other Lord and Master. You have to choose to have your glory in the next life, to enjoy the glory of the next world as the Spirit brings it to you, but not the gold and silver of this world, unless it's clearly God's will, but not to pursue it as the main thing ever. So, he's saying, well, you're not pursuing mammon, you're not pursuing gain, you're laying it aside. So, of course, that means you've got to trust that God will take care of you. If you're not always worrying about where food and drink is going to come from, then you're trusting that God will take care of you. So that's how the problem of worry comes into his teaching. That's why he then goes there. See, it interferes. If we're always troubled by tomorrow and by the challenges of this life, and if they're taking over our heart and mind, then they're stopping us, they're dragging us down, they're holding us back from serving the Lord, they're holding us back from loving one another and looking after one another, because we're just thinking about the problem we have ourselves in our own life. And someone will ask, well, how then can I survive? How then will I be able to keep going? And we've seen this often. Somebody says, well, I'd like to come to the church, I'd like to come and worship, but the rent is coming next week. I've got to work. I've got a customer on Sunday, and he's my best customer, so I can't come. You see, he's being dragged down and kept away. That's where it's coming from. Now, verse 25, these are the things people worry about. This is the root of it. People worry about their life, what they will eat or drink, verse 25, or they worry about their body, what they will wear. Now, there were no such worries in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were fully provided for by God. They had no need of clothes at that time because there was no sin and no shame. And the garden provided for them abundantly. There was always rich produce coming from the ground in that wonderful garden where they were placed. But then sin came in. And now what people worry about is food and drink and about clothes. How are we going to provide? What are we going to be doing tomorrow to live? Then all other worries, almost all of them, the main ones, can be traced back to that. So how am I going to provide for my family as well? Or my children's education so that they can be provided for when the children grow up? How will they be able to live and to get their food and their clothing? And then health worries come in because they're another way of worrying about life and the body. If I'm struggling even to be healthy, then how can I take care of these other concerns? And then there's worry about jobs, or if you've got an employment, are you going to be able to keep it? Are you going to lose it? Because if you lose it, how will you eat and how will you drink then? Or if there's some problem in the clan, if perhaps you have to stand up and oppose another member of the clan, well, will you then get cut off? And where will your security be then? Because people look to clan for needs when there's lack of food, when there's no money to pay the bills, then they look to the clan. And it's again another kind of security. People worry about the safety of their children. What's going to happen to them? Again, another way of worrying about the body. So God knows and understands us very well. He just summarizes it, the Lord Jesus, as he teaches the body what you will wear, your life what you will eat and drink. And as I've said, we see a lot of that. We know those things are very common. Someone says they can't come and seek the Lord, they can't come and worship because they've got to look after their family. They tell us if they get some free time once they've earned some money, then they'll think about the kingdom. But it never seems to come because these worries have overtaken them completely. But Jesus is speaking to Christians. He's not just speaking about those things. He's teaching us. And he's saying that we must not worry. We who believe must stop being anxious. He gives us five reasons. Or at least five reasons. I've put them in five. Maybe you can make them more. First reason not to worry is because it's a sin. Notice verse 25. Jesus says, therefore I tell you. Well, see the setting he's put it in. There's a service you're giving to God, or there's a service you're giving to mammon, trying to make sure you guarantee your comfort in this life. Or you can serve God, but you can't serve two masters. And worry is a way of serving two masters. Is God in control, or are you in control? Jesus, verse 29, again says, yet I tell you. And verse 31, so do not worry. Is it? The authority of Jesus, the Lord, is commanding us. It's not given as advice, it's not given as an idea. But it's given as a command, because it dishonors God. As if we can't trust him, as if he won't provide for us. So we can't make an excuse for worry, it's a sin. Verse 25, now our second reason. Because look, God has already provided something much bigger. The second part of the verse, Jesus says, is not life more than food? And then he says, is not the body more than clothes? Think of the mystery of life and think of the mystery of your body. Where does life come from? How can you get it back if it goes? Well, think how the body is put together, every part in its place, healing itself, repairing itself, all the parts working together. Much more than clothes, isn't it? Much more wonderful than anything which our hands have woven. What God has made. Now God has provided you with that. He's given you the life in your body. And he's woven the whole body together as a wonderful thing. So why can't we trust him to provide the food that the body needs to keep going? Why can't we trust him to provide the clothes to cover the body if he's done the much greater thing already? Surely he'll do the less, and we don't need to trouble ourselves too much about it. But look at the world around you, and this is our third reason. Because if you look at nature, you'll see God provides for those who have no other way of providing for themselves. So first, verse 26, he gives us the bird of the air. You don't see them building barns. You don't see them making plans and putting in their seed in the soil and then waiting for the rains, and the harvest comes and they harvest it and then they store it. You don't see them doing that. They don't have the means of doing that, and yet God then feeds them. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth much more than them? Verse 26. Or how about for clothing? Think of the flowers of the field. Verse 28, he speaks of lilies. They don't make their machines, their looms and their weaving machines and start sewing. They don't labor or spin, verse 28. Yet even King Solomon, verse 29, greatest king in Israel, the richest king, who had everything which all human work could provide, he was never clothed as well as those lilies in the field were. Now, what happens to the grass of the field? Well, we have in verse 30, it's thrown into the fire. The older translation has oven. That gives a better clue. They used to use it for heating their ovens, to get the cooking going. Somebody would just come to the field and grass and the flowers growing on the grass and all of it just go into the fire to cook the field. And yet God had so richly provided for it. So what's he telling us? He said, when every other way fails, when there's no other way of providing for yourself, when all your ideas come to nothing, yet God will take care of you. Because the birds and the grass, which have no way of caring for themselves, God cares for them. Now verse 27 is a very practical one. Here's our fourth reason that Jesus gives us. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Think of all the worrying you've done at different times of your life. What actually did it achieve? What came out of it? What progress did you make just through the act of worrying? If you try and worry as much as possible, will you make your life an hour longer, even 1 hour? No, you won't. You may make it shorter. It's well known that worry causes many health problems, that people get ulcers, people get weaker, they no longer want to eat and drink, they become vulnerable to diseases, and it's all through worry. But you can't make your life any longer by worrying. You can't improve it in any way. You can make it worse. So really, it's stupid, isn't it? It's pointless. You saw a man with a pile of rocks, and all day he's breaking the rocks, breaking them open. He breaks one open, puts it aside, breaks another. You say, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? He says, I'm hoping that I'll find gold inside one of them. Why should he hope that? Whoever broke open the rocks and found gold inside them, he's achieving nothing. He's looking for gold in a place he'll never find it. And if you think that by worrying you'll make things better, you're more foolish than that man, because you won't find it. So why do it? So four reasons so far. It's a sin. But God has already provided something greater. He'll provide something less. And God does provide when there's no other way. The whole world testifies to that. Worry achieves nothing. At fifth, he's our Heavenly Father. Because when Jesus speaks about the lilies and the birds, he's saying those are small things. But for you, God is your Father. He's not the father of the birds and of the grass. But to you, he's a father. and you're much more important. You're much more valuable to him. If you're a Christian, then you're a child of God. God took you out of the world and brought you into his family. And if he provides even for the animals, then he'll provide for you. Someone has to be a monster. They care for their pets more than they care for their children. If one of us was seen looking after a dog or a hen and yet letting our children starve, you'd say that person's a monster. But God is the good Father. Our children, where we have children, they're small children. They don't lie awake at night in their beds thinking, has Dad got it under control? Is Mum going to make sure we're looked after tomorrow? Because they just trust us. They just go to sleep and they sleep well, knowing that they have a father and a mother who take care of them. Now, actually, sometimes there may be a problem and it's too big for father or mother. Actually, we're not in control. But we, whoever we are, have to, and we should, and we can trust our Heavenly Father. Jesus says, your Heavenly Father, he reminds us that he is in heaven. He's reigning, he's ruling, he's got all power, he's over everything. He is the ultimate Father. There comes a point in life when we realize our parents aren't God, and they can't take care of everything for us. They're mortal, and they may even die. But our Father in heaven is over all. Verse 32, Jesus says, you know, the pagans, the word he uses, the nations, the other nations of the world, they run after all these things with all these worries. And we can understand that, because God isn't their father. They're still under the power of the devil. They haven't joined the family of the Lord. And so, well, they might worry. They might think, who's going to look after me? Who's going to care for me? Where am I going to get my needs met? Because they don't know God. They're ignorant of him and his love and the way back to him through the gospel. But we who believe in Jesus Christ should not be like that. Let the world worry about the things of the world. But let us who are in the kingdom just trust that God will take care of us in the world so we can give ourselves to the kingdom. See, worry is part of our sinful nature, where it's coming from. Worry is a messenger of the devil. Because worry comes to you and tells you lies. Worry comes and says, what will you do? You won't be taken care of. Worry comes and says, everything could go wrong. And you'll end up ruined at last. And it's a messenger of the devil, because it's telling us lies. Send it away. Jesus perfectly obeyed his own teaching, didn't he? Maybe you think you're poor, but Jesus owned the coat, and that seems to be all, or it's all that we know of in the scriptures. Others provided for him as he trusted God and he went round the work of the gospel. But when he died on the cross, he just had a mother to give away and a coat to give away. When he wanted to show you what a Roman coin looked like, he had to borrow one. When he needed the Jewish coin to pay his tax with, they fetched one out of a fish by a miracle. And he said once to a person who came after him, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And yet Jesus was provided for until he finished his life on earth. He trusted God even with his body to the death of the cross. Jesus then was lifted up by God. From the cross he went to the grave, to the sky. Now he's glorified and exalted. So Jesus teaches us why we must not worry. Then he also tells us what we should actually do. Verse 30, he says, stop being of little faith. Because it is a lack of faith that leads us into worry. It's because our faith still has a distance to go in growing and getting bigger. Worry and trust are opposites.
my wife's older sister on her wall at home. She has something that says, worry kills prayer, prayer kills worry. Because when we're praying, we're handing it over to God. We're exercising faith in God. We're trusting the matter to God. And that is to strike at the heart of worry. Peter says, cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. Cast them upon him. You know, if in this life, here in Kenya, you have a problem. But suppose you find a relative and he's working in the right office. You've got a relative who's an official and he has the power to solve your problem. And then you'll say, it's okay. My friend, my kinsman, he's going to take care of it. And so you relax. But we have a friend in the highest place. We have the Lord Jesus at the right hand of God. So we ought to say it's enough. It's going to be taken care of. I'll just do my best. I'll use the opportunities God is giving me. I'll pray for him to show me the way. I'll do what I can. And then my friend in the highest place will take care of it. See, God has provided for our eternal need. There's no eternal worry for us. So we don't need to worry about the things of time either, because they're less. He's given Christ to the cross, and everything else is less. So he'll take care of that too. If we find our faith is weak, we must ask him for more. The disciples said to Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. And he may send you more trials so that your faith can increase. He may send you the fire of problems so that he can purify you. Then he'll bring you forth as gold, because he'll answer that prayer if you ask it, believing. So Jesus teaches us, verse 33, seek first his kingdom. And that's why the teaching is coming, because worry is preventing us from serving in the kingdom as we ought to be able to do. But put aside worry, seek first the kingdom. Give yourself to it, then there'll be no room. When you get out to serve the Lord, you forget about other things. You go home and you think, for those hours I just forgot about my problems, it was good. Or you go and visit a friend with a problem, you go and help someone. You serve. You get out of yourself. And later you say, well, I just forgot about my problems during that time. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom. Put the kingdom first. And then you have the promise. God will take care of the rest. Seek first his kingdom, his righteousness. All these things will be given to you as well. It's what we call a paradox. It's a surprising truth that if you seek first the things of God, God promises to take care of your things. But if you just put your things first, then you don't have the promise. And you'll find trouble. And you'll find woe. And so people go more and more into looking after themselves and they get less and less out of it. But the Christian gives himself more and more to serving God. And he finds he need worry less and less about his own things. God gives the thing we want. If we want to make our own way in the world, God will give us that, and it won't be good. But if we want his kingdom first, then God will give us everything else also. So verse 34, he says, pay attention to what you're doing today. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough troubles of its own. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So we pray for our daily bread. That was earlier in the chapter, verse 11. And we pay attention to our day's challenges and opportunities. Of course, we plan ahead for the future. But we don't worry about the future. God won't give you strength today for next week's problems. He hasn't promised that, and you can't ask him for it. Just like it may be he gives you enough food in your cupboard for tomorrow, but he doesn't promise it. So you can't rely on it. But seek to serve him and honour him and do your best with his strength, with his spirit, obeying him today
And then God will take care of you today, and God will sort out tomorrow as it comes. Yes, there will be trouble tomorrow. Jesus doesn't say, don't worry about tomorrow because there's not going to be any trouble. He says there will be trouble, but take it as it comes. Take today, one day at a time. Don't go ahead of God. So let's just finish then again with the words of verse 33. Because it's the great promise. It's the great command. Seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well.